This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I don't think I've ever felt like this before in my life, where I'm so jacked up about the team and what happened last night, and I'm fist pumping in the house. But then I think about what's coming next, and I'm like, well, it's going to end now. So I'm going to enjoy this for a little bit, and then they're going to go right to a blender in Boston. But today's a feel-good Friday. What a shot. What a guy. What a player. Jalen Brunson. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, man. It was awesome last night. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with everybody else out there who's a Knick fan watching Jalen Brunson do what he did. And here's the one thing I will say. Carl Anthony Towns, 6 fouls, 10 points. Oh my God. Yeah, this is one of the reasons why Jalen Brunson has to take the ball at the end of the game. And it also highlights the fact that Tibbs didn't get him into the game in the previous game at home. Because when he's not on the court, everybody's standing around and nobody's doing anything. Mm. He is, the fourth highest paid or third highest paid on this team? He should be the highest paid by far because he does the most work. He is the smallest guy on the court other than Deuce McBride. He takes a number of hits. He goes down a lot. He spends a lot of time actually on the court laying down. But it was amazing. His final shot was amazing. I texted you at halftime. I'm like, how in the hell are the Knicks down at halftime after that first half?
Yeah, I mean, and they had a 15-point lead that they just choked away. Defensively, they were terrible. They gave up 61 points in the first half to a Pistons team that's not known for their offense. It was really disconcerting. I mean, and then the way they played in the fourth quarter was even worse than how they played in the second quarter. I mean, at one point, the disparity was like 25-4 in the fourth quarter until Jalen Brunson decided, all right, enough is enough. And, you know, he has that thing. Like, the Pistons, I know that all these games are close, but, you know, they've had a number of opportunities late in these games where they haven't had the big shot, the big moment, and Jalen Brunson is clutch. He just is, and this is why he's dribbling around all the time at the end of games, because more often than not, he's pulling something off like that.
You know, looking at the postseason statistics, I mean, the Knicks, Pistons, and Boston Celtics, believe it or not, are very, very close to each other in attempted threes, made threes, and three-point percentage, okay? So they're almost all right there.
Yeah.
So they're all right around 31 attempts. They're all about the Knicks are actually 37% make. The Celtics are 38% make. They make one more three than the Knicks do. But here's the difference between the Pistons and the Celtics. When they need to have a shot to be made, they have it made. It doesn't get bricked or... Right. You know, they have five guys on the court that can score, and they spread the floor, and they have some incredible shooters that, you know, that if they're on, you know, the Knicks are going to have to be more than what they were last night. It can't just be a one-man show. And I, you know, there are a couple guys that played really good games last night.
Mikal Bridges, we've been all over him, and rightfully so. Mikal Bridges' his best game as a Knick, considering how big of a game it was. I mean, that tip-in.
I think he had one three-point play,
but this shot. This tip-in here.
That was great.
That was critical with 35 seconds to go, where he finds himself in the perfect position, maximum effort. I mean, that was a huge, huge play. And then that big left-handed dunk that he had, that really helped the momentum turn for them at that point in the game. So he was awesome. He was great. And if you're going to get that Mikal Bridges against the Celtics, that's a huge boost. But I mean, I don't want to be too negative today. I really don't.
No, there's nothing to be negative
about. Well, there is. It's Carl Anthony Towns you could be negative about.
Well, he had a bad game last night, and he fouled out again. And I don't necessarily know that the Boston Celtics are going to play him this way. Like, this is not – the Celtics aren't the Pistons. The Pistons mucked this whole thing up. It was physical. It was, you know, guys hanging off of each other, guys undercutting each other. The Celtics don't play that way.
No, they don't, and maybe the physical nature of what they had to deal with the Knicks in the first series against the Pistons will give them a physical advantage in this series. It's possible, but you know, the difference is simple between the Pistons and the Celtics. You're talking about a team in Detroit that has a veteran presence, sure, but they're an up-and-coming young team who's just learning at this phase what playoff basketball is about, and now you got the defending world champs.
Well, so here we are. So you're in this second round, and you're starting now. You're playing the real teams in the NBA, and this is where the Knicks have had problems. But I have to say, and I don't want to minimize what happened last night and the fact that they won three games in Detroit, and the way that when Brunson is on the court, he does and has to do so much. I mean, it's got to be exhausting for him.
Oh, yeah.
Physically exhausting, mentally exhausting, knowing that everybody on that team expects him to do something with the ball. And he's got this little fadeaway jumper. He's got these three-point shots that are ridiculous at times. And they're going to need that, and they're going to need something from everyone in this next series. And, you know, it's great that they're here now. This is where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they are built to be able to go up at least against the Celtics and give them a run. And the question is will they be able to do that? And the good news is that they don't start until Monday. So they got 3 days off. They'll practice. They'll look at videotape. They'll get their treatments. And hopefully when they get to Boston come Monday night, that they will be healthy and they will feel good about what they just accomplished. And there'll be a little bit of juice in their step. And they're just going to, in order to win this, you know, these seven-game series, almost always go to the best team. It's not like a five-game series. It's not a one and mm-hmm. done.
You know, especially in the NBA.
Until you get to a game seven, then maybe sure. Something's different. But you normally, in a seven-game series in the NBA, the better team comes out on top. So that means, I don't know what FanDuel has the Knicks.
Oh, I mean, they're a massive underdog.
So the reality is that even with the changes that were made, and even with the fact that they are healthy going into this series against the Celtics, they're going to be massive underdogs. But that doesn't take anything away from what Jalen Brunson did last night.
No, I mean that shot is up there as one of the more memorable ones since in my lifetime, since I've been alive as a Knicks fan. I mean, that's definitely going to go up there. To close out a playoff series, I mean, the Allen Houston, you know, the around the rim, going to the basket against the Miami Heat, obviously, I mean, the LJ four-point play is elevated.
John Starks dunk.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be in that, it's in that conversation because it closed out a playoff series and they came back in the fourth quarter with an 11-1 run and that crossover was unbelievable. I mean, it's just one of those shots.
That's a great crossover. That move is ridiculous.
I mean,
you want to talk about breaking your opponent's ankles.
I mean, it's like he is.
Watch this.
Oh, my God. And then at that point in the game, where your legs have to be jello, and he's got a bad ankle, to be able to stop on a dime like that in that critical situation and drain that three, God, I mean, that is what you want from an athlete in any sport, is the ability to make that shot, have confidence in that shot, have the team have confidence in you to make that shot. It was just incredible.
Look at his fourth quarter output. And, you know, in game five, he got stuck on the sideline and Tom Thibodeau didn't use his timeout.
Which looks even dumber today, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It does. There's no question about it. And I thought Tibbs used his timeouts right last night. He tried to stem some of the momentum that Detroit had, you know, again, he's only the other thing too that is alarming, and the Pistons actually employed some of this. I don't necessarily know that the Celtics have to do this, but you know, this hack of
Mitch
Robinson is woof.
Yeah, but I mean, they had guys in foul trouble because of that. I mean, the Celtics aren't going to do that.
Unless it's late in the game and he happens to be on the court and the game is tight. That's when they may do it. That's what I would do it. It's an obvious way of getting the ball back.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and Tibbs has got to be conscious of that. You wanted the odds, so the Celtics are minus 1,000, meaning that if you want to win $100 on the Celtics winning the series, you have to bet 1,000 to win 100. And the Knicks are plus 660. Shout out WFAN. Plus 660. So if you put 100 on it, you would win $660. That's how much of an underdog.
We're in a conundrum. I don't know whether to sit here and celebrate last night's win and, you know, throw all the petals of flowers at Jalen Brunson because it was an amazing shot and it was an amazing, just like, heavy performance. I mean, even with them playing defense, the way that the Pistons were playing defense and how they were trying to harass him, three quarters of the court up, and, you know, the Knicks have got to set the pick so he can get away from these guys. Think about just the amount of attention that they were paying to him and everything that he had to do. And still, with all of that going on, he was able to drop 40.
Yeah, I mean, and as far as you don't know how to feel, it's the exact same way. Like, I was really excited that he hit that shot. I thought that was awesome, and I won't forget that. We won't forget that. But I just thinking about my fandom, this is the most unique situation I've ever been in. And I was going through all sorts of big wins and feeling good about things. And then I was like, is there a time where one of my teams won a playoff series? And then I thought that they were going to be completely dead the next series, to the point where I was like, I don't even know how much I could celebrate this. Now, it's the way that this one ended and the way that they built this team. Like, back in the Carmelo years, like, I never, ever thought at any point that they were going to get past the Miami Heat. Coming into this season, I thought that this Knicks team would be able to beat the Boston Celtics or the Cleveland Cavaliers, but the way that the season has gone, now I don't feel that way any longer. But like football and baseball, if you get on that run, you think football, it's one game. We could knock somebody off. We've seen wildcard teams do it all the time. Baseball, the Mets get on this incredible run at the end of last year. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies. You know, they are playing the LA Dodgers. You think there's some way they could pull it off. In this series, after that shot, in that moment, like, once you're done with it, you're like, oh, okay, well, now they're going to get whacked.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You know, as this thing stretches out, it really does become more and more intoxicating. Like, this is why I've always said, you know, when the Knicks, and again, I don't think they're winning the next series, but we're going to suspend that for a second, at least for today. Like, this is what it used to be like when the Knicks were the Knicks in the 90s. It's like the city was just moving at a different speed. The pulse of the city was different. The energy was palpable. Is that too big of a word? Just amazing. And, you know, I don't know about you guys here, but I am rapidly approaching, like with Jalen Brunson, basically Mariano Rivera level of trust. Yeah, I can't say Judge because of the October failure so far. I mean, who else, really? You know, Patrick didn't win. Donnie didn't win. The Mets haven't won since 86. You know, when the Islanders were ripping off those four straight championships, I remember him, but I wasn't really that locked in. I know the players, but, you know. I mean, all right, Messier, but, you know, certainly Messier. I mean, I don't even need to add content. Messier, he's certainly mess. But I'm sure you older Knicks fans had it with Clyde and maybe Willis. I didn't have that faith. I had that love, and I had that admiration. I didn't have that conviction that Patrick was going to get it done. I just didn't, you know? And I'm not going to apologize for saying it. Like I told you, the tweet I put out, I guess, by, at this point, about 20-something minutes ago, that Brunson's the greatest Knick that I've ever seen with my own eyes. You know, and automatically you just get the dopey, you know, three brain-celled responses. Boom, until he gets him to an Eastern Conference Finals or an NBA Finals, it can't be Patrick. Like, that is such a bottom line, to me, unintelligent way of framing it. Like, no, it's not about that. It's about the level of efficiency for me compared to Patrick and all the moments that Patrick just stumbled when we needed him to rise. And I'm not going to list them because I got too much respect for Patrick. I really do. But Brunson's list is a lot shorter. And conversely, his list of the moments where it was clutch time just destroy Patrick's. So the level of trust is really the platinum, the highest level is Mariano. He's getting there. All right, 888-808-1019. Reese, Cold Spring Harbor, BT and Sal and all the fam. What's happening, Reese?
BT, what's up, my man? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Huge props for celebrating what Brunson's doing right now and framing it in the way you are. It's capturing perfectly how I'm feeling. I've got two quick points I'd love your thoughts on.
Okay.
First, we're witnessing our version of a Jordan Kobe-type killer. There's zero doubt in my mind now that Brunson is absolutely good enough to be the number one guy on a championship-winning team. I know that comes up with small people, but when he's suited up, this team will always have at least a puncher's chance because of the way he competes, his heart, his stones. I mean, the guy's toughness and will to win are unlike anything I've ever seen.
I'm with you. I'm with you, man.
And second, quick, look, I'm 25, so I was too young to really remember Mariano and Jeter on those 90s Yankee runs. And if you want to bring up Eli, sure, be my guest. Brunson's easily the clutchest New York athlete I've ever seen. And I would put him, honestly, I think Brunson's the clutchest New York athlete ever. Basketball in my mind is different, right? One guy could take over possession after possession in the span of a minute in ways other than you could do on a baseball field or on a football field.
Yep.
And Brunson's done that for 2 years in the playoffs, back to back.
I'm with
you. For me, that's why he gets the nod. I'd love to hear what you think. Thanks again for the time and for keeping it real, BT. Appreciate you, man.
No doubt, buddy. I'm happy you're enjoying this and the ride, and you got more time with the ride, which is going to be great. Hopefully we get, you know, maybe get a little surprise next round to just keep this thing going. It's funny, the way I was young with Bernard, and then he got hurt, and then it was over. And they showed highlights during this series, obviously, when he went bonkers against the Pistons back in the day. And he averaged 43.5, I think. Two broken fingers. He had the flu. And nobody's here to say that Bernard wasn't the greatest offensive force, like unstoppable, in Knicks history. I think that goes to Bernard. Throw in the post, one-on-one, nobody stopping him. Nobody. But he didn't have to work so hard to get to his spots. The game was so different. I mean, the most impressive thing about last night, like even if he missed the shot, which of course he wasn't going to, like think about how he freed himself up. Everybody in the building knew who's taking the shot. Everybody knows what's about to happen. And a little dance, a little shift, a little yo-yo, a little jab, a little boom. Wide open. Wide open. Skates. So my belief in his ability to, number one, rise above anything that may transpire, like mentally, from a bad night, you know, it's 100%. I don't care if he's 1-for-19. I believe he's going to make that last shot with the Knicks having a chance to win, and I always will. I think, so that's one aspect. And then the ability to get his shot. And I know it's different for a big, obviously, but that's where I have almost no confidence in Karl Anthony Towns. You know, just looks like he's in slow motion, getting pushed off his spot by guys who are smaller. No, but Jalen Brunson, to me, he is on that that highest level, the Mount Rushmore of belief. You can't, even in the most crazy moment, like last night, the most frenetic, you know, end of game, your mind's racing, the entire season, basically, I know there would have been a game seven, but you know, basically coming down to the shot, and while we are completely jacked up emotionally, and some of us, you know, physically, if you jump around standing, he is the one person that still balances us and centers us and keeps those emotions from going, you know, completely out of whack. Like sometimes I would get with Patrick, fumble the ball, you know, it's just different with Jalen. He's different. Vernon is down in Atlanta, Georgia on the Free Odyssey app. What's happening, buddy?
What's up, BK?
You. Listen, what's cooking there, Vern?
Listen, I was telling Big Zoo I was going to come on today and take your Nick card, but being that you came on with that monologue, I couldn't do nothing but feel real happy about how you feel about the Knicks today.
Nice,
so
man.
I'm going to take that away and you know, let you continue on.
You're going to rescind the penalty that you were about to bestow upon me today. I got you.
Right. Hey, but listen, yesterday was my mother's birthday, but she's up in heaven. You know, I was feeling kind of down all day. Mm-hmm. But last night when Brunson shook Thompson and shot that three, I said, money.
Yeah.
And Mom Deuce touched me last night and said, you're right. Money came to us tonight.
Was your mama was Mama a Knicks fan or no?
No, she wasn't really a Knicks fan, but she would cheer
with
me. You know what I'm saying?
That's
the type of mother I had, right?
Yeah.
Well, check this out, BT. Even though we lost to, this is our role. I knew Detroit was going to be hard and tough because they play a lot of bully ball. And if they were going to try to get in our heads, well, I'm glad we have enough people that understand that and didn't let that happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is return of the payback. We got to pay back Boston for the season. We got to pay back Cleveland, the Brown after. And then I feel we're going to take OKC out. I'm guaranteeing the Knicks going to championship and win. Hold up. I'm 64, and the only two championships I've seen was back when I was 9 and the other one when I was 13.
Uh-huh.
You know, so now I feel it. I feel it in the blood, man. It's in the cards. We're going to win it.
Wow.
Put that down.
I mean, listen. Go ahead, buddy. My bad. Finish up. I'm stepping on you. Go ahead.
Okay. Because you know what? I'm claiming king of positivity. It ain't got to be for Knicks fans because a lot of Knicks fans, they are so-so. I'm claiming king of positivity for all us older cats, you know what I'm saying, from 50 on up to 70.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Uh-huh.
King positivity, Vern.
All right. King positivity in the house. I like it, Vern. I don't believe it, but I like it. I mean, Vern's got him going to the championship and winning. I mean, I'm just hoping we get 6 games against the Celtics and it's not like 4 or 5. We'll do more of that Monday. Yeah, it's funny. Like, the Knicks-Celtics playoff history, and really the rivalry, it's really just not there for me. I know we want to make it out to be like it is, but they haven't played each other a ton. Let's see. It's a total of 67 playoff games ever. 2013, of course, we know that. 2011. So you had that was you know, Garnett, Carmelo, Honey Nut Cheerio. Like, yeah, there was a lot going on. That was intense, dude. And then before that, you got to go back to 1990. And this was the year, I'm talking about Patrick not always getting it done in the clutch. Well, this is definitely one year that he did. This was when Patrick hit some, I mean, freakish 3 from the corner. If you young guys haven't seen this, you have to look this up on YouTube. I think the ball was knocked around and it found Pat, or he went to go get it and he had no choice. The shot clock was ticking down and he found himself in the left corner and he shot a 3 and it actually hit it nicked the glass. Like, it wasn't swish. It caught a little backboard and went down. And the Knicks won that series. That was young Pat. And the Knicks won that series 3-2. By the way, I'm just curious, what did Pat do that day statistically? Will this give it to me? It should. Come on, give it to me. And I look at 31 for Pat. Oakley had 17 rebounds. Bird had 31. That was a wild game. I remember that. All right. And then after 1990, or before that, I should say, you had 88. And that's, you know, the Knicks weren't there yet. They were young, young Patrick still. And the Celtics, you know, the dynasty was over, but they still were really good. 84, like, I'd be lying if I said I remember the mechanics of this. I don't even know if I watched this. I was 9. But, like, the ability to consume the NBA playoffs back then was very different. You know, I watched the Knicks on Channel 9 when I was a kid. I didn't have MSG until later. But in 84, and I know that Bernard King, I think it was Cornbread Maxwell who said, you know, Bernard King's not scoring more than 30 ever again. And Bernard's like, all right, suck on this. How about 40? Like, he just, Bernard King was just the man. Yeah, you had to say it. And they pushed him to 7. And that was a vintage championship Celtics team. You're talking Bird, Parrish, McHale. Bill Walton was not yet on the team, I don't think. But Cornbread was still there. Danny Ainge, Dennis Johnson. And the Knicks pushed him to 7. I know I'm kind of getting in the weeds here. I just have to pull up this box score. Like, that Knick team, you talk about, like, Bill Cartwright, Bernard King, like, Rory Sparrow, Trent Tucker, Darrell Walker. Like, guys who played hard, but guys who really weren't that good. Look at this, dude. Yeah, Bernard King scored 44 in that, played 44 minutes. Bill Cartwright, Truck Robinson. Yeah, I know the name. I don't remember seeing him play. Rory Sparrow, Trent Tucker, Louis Orr, rest in peace. Good guy, Louis. Darrell Walker, Marvin Webster, Ernie Grunfeld. Oh, man. So, I mean, this day in back in the day history. No, but it's really not as extensive as maybe it feels like. But it's funny, though, because I did a TV hit yesterday, or 2 days ago. I guess you could find it somewhere. NBC 4 up in Boston. Like, they reached out to WFAN, and they said, hey, can we get somebody to do a Knicks hit on our primetime newscast? So they're like, you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, of course I'll do it. So they want to talk about the Celtics. Again, this was before last night's game. And I'm sitting here saying, dude, I'm worried about the Pistons, man. I mean, yeah, you guys already moved on. You know, you won by 31 points in a closeout game. We're sweating this out. We're sweating bullets here. No, we're going to win this one. But, yeah, I'll engage. And it's funny, like, the Celtic fan, and then somebody did send it to me, and then I watched it, and, you know, I was talking for 10 minutes, but they only used, like, 2 minutes of, or not even a minute of what I said, and they're hitting Celtic fans, yeah, we want the Knicks. It seems like do they want the Knicks because of the rivalry, or do they want the Knicks because they think it's going to be easy? Or they hate us because a lot of us are Yankee fans. I don't know. But they want us. Like, you watch this piece, everybody's already talking smack. We hadn't even moved on yet. You know? Let me get Kyle in West Orange, BT and Sound on the Fan. Kyle, what's going on, Kyle?
What's going on, BT? Enjoy the show. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Listen, I gave up. I couldn't believe it. I'm in the fourth. I had to go do the dishes. And
Stop.
BT.
Wait.
I'm yelling.
Wait. You had to do the what?
I had to go clean. I had to do something. I was getting anxious. I was yelling. The kids were asleep. My wife was getting on me.
Dishes during a Knick
I had to go clean. And then, no, I could hear it. I could hear it. And she goes, you better get in here right now. This is changing like that. And I went in. I couldn't believe it. And, yes, I had on TNT, and I turned over to the MSG because I love hearing Clyde and Breen. Those are my guys. I got to hear that. And this team, Brunson, this guy, Brunson, has been the energy. He's the push of this team. He pushed Mikal Bridges to do what he had to do. I got to see Mikal Bridges do 44 minutes and 25 points. You got to get used to that, Mikal. Ananobi, you got to do 22 points. I'm okay with Karl Anthony Towns, 15 rebounds, 10 points with 2 assists. 37 minutes.
Uh-huh.
If that's what I can deal with, that's what I did. Because you know what? He did this in Minnesota. He's kind of soft in some cases. He disappears in the team. But if you can give me rebounds, 15 rebounds, 10 points, 15 points.
No, 10, no, 10 ain't going to cut it. If he averages 10 or 15 points against the Celtics, he's getting run out of town. I mean, I got news for you, Kyle.
I'm 57. Yeah. I saw those Knicks. And yes, I am ballhead. Old school black shoes, everybody, black sneakers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm old school. Carl Towns, man, you're home. Carl Anthony Towns, this is Carl's town right here in the paint. Nobody comes in here. I'm doing 20-plus points right here in the paint, and I'm getting to the foul line.
Okay.
He doesn't do that. He wants to shoot. Wants to shoot these, like, 10 or 12. You know, he wants to be a point guard. I'm sitting there. He's dribbling the ball up the court. I'm like, give the ball away. Give it away. You can even hear the Pistons fans are going, whoa. Like, come on, man. And the team has to get – you need – Bridges got to get more touches. Hart, just do what you do. This guy, Hart, is just a gamer, man. He does everything. He's a baller. He just pushes, steals. Ananobi, keep your head on. Don't get any technical fouls.
Yeah, I'm not worried. Kyle, I'm not worried about, I'm not worried about
like
OG. I'm not worried about OG at all. Thanks for the call, bud. I love OG Ananobi. And you know, maybe the biggest flicker of hope to emerge from this is Bridges. Maybe... Even on the MSG, he was dropping curses. He's like, yeah, we built for this. I'm like, all right, finally. The dog is coming out. Yeah. Kyle was doing dishes. Lost me with that, but he recovered. I had a little moment there. So, again, I told you guys early, I'm juggling. I got the whole game recording, but I got kids. And there was baseball practice, so I'm in the car. I don't coach this team. I'm in the car. I've got the radio, I'm watching on my phone, I get home, everything's synced up, boom, and, you know, my son goes up, takes a quick shower, I let him stay up, watch the game, my daughter is, you know, she's the best, she's kind of doing summer, she now, for some reason, she's deciding to, like, climb the stairs and, like, do something that's a little risky, like walking the couch like it's a tightrope. I'm like, this, and I let it go, I'm saying to myself, this is not the time for this. And I was oddly calm. I really was. My son was getting more pissed than me. I was just absorbing it, right? And my wife was kind of into it. And then, you know, the Pistons start going on this little run. And for some reason, and she does, I mean, God bless her, but she does this once in a while. Oh, God, what are they doing? I really felt like saying, I don't care to hear your opinion right now. Like, you can cheer, and I love that we do it as a family, but I'm not interested in what you're sending my way right now. And it kept going, and like, you know, Pistons, this is during the 20-2 run, the 24-4, whatever that run, that crazy run. And thank God, she caught herself, and I thank God I asked her nicely. I'm like, babe, listen, I said, hang around, all good. I said, you got to stop with the commentary. You have to, please. And like, I said it in a way that certainly was disarming. And she's like, I got you. I'm like, oof. Like, that could have been a little bit of a battle, which would have been unacceptable in game 6 in that moment. But it worked out well. Everybody's happy. Today's a day of celebration. And I mean, just Jalen Brunson, cold killer. It is about the Knicks. It is about Brunson. And Brunson has been that guy really for minute one since he got here. Dove, of course, he's wearing the white shirt, which he always does, so I can see him. And he's very much in my line of sight. And then Zoo, who is also directly in front of me with my left eye, and maybe 3 or 4 feet away from Dove, if that. Every time I look at you, I think you're out of the room. So I just naturally say, oh, good job with the music, Dove. But it's actually you banging in the Rush.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You know, we got to get a little Rush in here. We got the vibes going good. A little Tom Sawyer never hurt nobody.
Yeah, no doubt. Better than some of those 1950s jams you got to play for Benningo on the weekend, huh?
Hey, now. Between Richard and Joe B, we definitely service an audience of the fans here.
Listen, we have eclectic musical taste, no doubt. And one thing we can all agree on is that Jalen Brunson... Now, that is a sweet sound, no doubt. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. We'll get back to these Nick calls, a little on the Soto stuff, something on Jazz coming up in a bit. It worked out well, and I've noticed this with myself more and more. I don't know why more and more, but now last night would have been, you know, all right, Yanks, let me check my phone and see what you're doing. And the Mets obviously played earlier. But when there's no baseball, like it worked out last night because of the Knicks, but... I can't stand when one of the two, obviously more for the Yankees because I'm a Yankee fan, but when both teams don't play, it just feels incomplete to me when there's not both teams playing baseball. Dave's in Maplewood. What's up, Dave?
Hey, happy Friday.
You too, buddy. What's going on?
I just got to tell you, the Knicks really need to be working on their bench, because McBride coming in for Brunson is a joke. McBride stinks. And if they don't teach Robinson how to hit a foul shot, the Celtics will be fouling him at the end of the game all the time to take him to the line.
All right, now, Dave, hold on
whether
a second.
He has the ball
Dave,
or not.
Listen, you voice a couple of – I don't think that McBride stinks, but I hear you. He's not had a good season. And I hear you on Mitchell Robinson, but – the way you, like, they need to teach him how to hit a free throw. Do you think he's not working on this? He's just, for whatever reason, incapable. He's never going to be good. Not happening over the weekend. Not happening this month. Not happening next year. Not going to happen the rest of his career. He cannot shoot, and he will never shoot free throws well.
Well, it's going to be tough having him at the end of the game in there.
I agree with that. And they're a little restricted there. Yeah. And, you know, you're not going to turn McBride into a pure point guard over the weekend. That's part of the problem. You know, and I listen, three hours of having fun and enjoying, which I did. Now we can get a little bit more real with maybe some of the prospects for this series here. Although I'm going to hold out some hope that they can overachieve. But, like, the Knicks are just poorly put together. You know, their pieces, from a talent perspective, are very appealing. But they don't have a pure backup point guard on the roster. Tyler Kolek, who... You know, I've seen him at Marquette for years. I love him. He's not ready, or at least they don't deem him ready. He's a pure point. Anybody else they put out there, not a pure point. So they're limited there, which is why the offense looks a little stagnant when Jalen Brunson goes to the bench. And, you know, that's part of the reason why they are very susceptible to long droughts where they get out. Because their defense isn't particularly good in certain spots when Cat's out there without Mitch. And when Jalen goes to the bench, you know, I mean, it's just, it's, I don't know what they could do schematically in the next couple of days to really prepare and throw a curveball at the Celtics. I don't really think that there's anything. I think this is one of those simple situations where your best players have to show up and your best players got a ball. And, you know, if they do, maybe you have more of a chance than I think. Zach is in Ridgewood. Zach, what's going on? That's New Jersey. What up, Zach?
What's up, BT? Happy Friday. Hope all is well. I got two quick points for you. I'll make it quick. What do you think about this upcoming series with the Celtics and the Knicks? Knicks opening up at +550, a little worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
And this team, ironically, they seem like a DiVincenzo or a Hartenstein away from being legit, as funny as that is. But
yeah,
I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say. But.
You got it, Zach. These are all things I've been saying for a long time. God, it's hard because I really like Josh Hart. I don't think Josh Hart's a starter, or at least not a big, big minutes guy on an NBA champion. I just don't. I don't see it. So what do I think is going to happen? I think the Knicks are going to lose. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. I don't think the Knicks are going to win. Let me see. All right. So some series odds here. Well, if this is first the game one and I've got both. Okay, good. I got both. So game one odds. This is FanDuel. Knicks are +8.5. Okay. On the money line, the Knicks are +290 in game one. For the series, yep, last call was right, +550. And for those of you who don't know what that means, you bet 100, you win 550. You bet 200, you win 1100, so on and so forth. So, I mean, they're telling you right now, we're not giving you a chance. I mean, 550 is astronomical. That's massive. Now, all right, you want to mess around, then... If I'm going to give you a little betting tip now, just in terms of value, and I haven't even seen it, but I just know the way this works. I don't think the Knicks will win the series. All right. But if you're looking for value, you want to mess around and put a 50 spot or whatever denomination you got, 100, whatever more, if you're, you know, it's all relative. I get that. On the Knicks to win the series in a specific amount of games. All right. Could have a little fun with that. Throw $100 on the Knicks in six. So, like, if the Knicks are +550 to win the series, I would have to think that they're +6 change or higher to win it in six. Because any thought that the Knicks could win, well, I mean, then again, you'd have to win game 7 on the road versus game 6 at the Garden. I don't know, maybe. But if you want to really get nuts, $50, Knicks in five. Somebody turns an ankle. Knicks play out of their minds. But it's going to take a Herculean effort for the Knicks to win the series. I don't think they're going to win. I just don't. Lou's in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Hey, BJ, how you doing? Long time. Good show.
Yeah, and I don't like the way this has turned all of a sudden. Like, now it's like, all right, now I have to speak matter-of-factly, give you my true opinions. Like, I don't like the way that last couple. But I stand by it. I stand by it. What's up, Louie? Missed you, buddy. How you doing?
Listen, I hope you don't hate me because I'm going to bring up Patrick Ewing, okay?
Sure.
I think that he was so overrated, it's not even funny. And let me give you a couple of points, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if you remember Oakley and Mason. Every time that Patrick play as Shaquille O'Neal, a good center, he stay away from them. And Mason and Oakley had to do the dirty work, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, he got Don Nelson and Pat Riley, not fired, but you know what, dismissed, or well, whatever, because he didn't want to play the position. He didn't want to listen. He was a selfish player. Remember when we got Ross Strickland?
Of course.
Thought was going to be one of the greatest at point guard, and he wouldn't give him the rock, like you call him. As a matter of fact, Oakley, come on, call him selfish. Okay.
Well, but Lou, hold on. I think you're, I don't want to just keep going back to the day
here.
But hold on, but I think you're conflating a few things. So it's not that Patrick wouldn't give him the basketball. You know, you still had Mark Jackson on the team when you drafted Rod Strickland, and then they shipped out Rod. Do you know who they traded Rod Strickland for? Do you remember that?
Actually, I don't remember, but I know Strickland was an outstanding guard.
I'm going to tell you.
It doesn't matter. I mean, that guy should have been our point guard.
Patrick. Yep, but he wasn't. They traded him for
Patrick,
a 40-year-old.
Exactly, but Patrick was the type of guy like I said, you know, only the guy from I forgot who, a small center that he used to guard. That's it. Everybody else, he had to do the dirty work for him. Like I said,
yeah.
He was not a good teammate.
No, I'm going to let you get your opinions out. Thanks for the call there, buddy. And just to complete the thought, because Lou was going hard there, the Rod Strickland trade was for, I believe he was 40, maybe 39, maybe even 41. Mo Cheeks. Remember that? Anyway, to say Patrick wasn't a good teammate, Zoo, this is good. Thanks, buddy. I think that's patently unfair, and I think it's offensive to Patrick. Now, I don't think that Patrick was perfect. You know, didn't really want to see him at the free throw line late. Didn't have the best hands. We, if you watched him, you know. Middle career forward, wasn't quite the defensive player we thought he would be when he got drafted out of Georgetown, became more offensive, less defensive oriented. I do think, like, when Don Nelson came and Nelson had a vision, that would have been, what, 96? I think 96? I think it was 96. Could have been 90, 95, 96. And he had this pretty interesting vision where he wanted to run the offense through Anthony Mason. And Pat wasn't having it. I'm not saying Pat never flexed or Pat wasn't, you know, tough with the media. Like, I got some buddies who are, you know, aren't quite as active with the New York Post or the news, like, that I've done radio with back in the day. And they used to tell me Pat was a tough customer, man. He was very hard to get to know. He was not friendly with the media. He was, you know, a little surly. But, I mean, one thing Pat always did, Pat always played his ass off. Patrick Ewing always played hard. Flaws and all, bum knees and all, getting schooled by Hakeem in 94 and all. I mean, Pat always balled for us. Come on. To say that he wasn't, and Lou, I think you take that a little bit too far. How about Zeke and Flatbush? What up, Zeke?
Mr. BT, I apologize. First of all, again, I'm very impressed with the vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
It is impressive, and you have to continue to utilize it on the air.
Yes.
And let the other hosts know how much smarter you are.
That's not my intention, but I will continue to be me. Yeah. Thank you, Zeke.
And it's not hard to do. Anyway, on a serious note, yesterday I told you the team has no heart. I eat my words. With the exception of Kat, the entire team played with more heart yesterday than they did the entire season. I did not see yesterday coming. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, you know, Zeke, I didn't really know what to. Now, I thought in game five, I thought the Knicks was like, all right, enough of this nonsense, man. We're going to mop you. We're going to be up 37-17 after the first quarter, 59. Yeah, 59-38 at half, and we're going to win whatever the hell. I said like 197-98, something like that. I really thought they were going to smoke him in game five. Last night, I really didn't know what to expect, but I will say this. seeing the start that they had, I was actually pleasantly surprised, but I didn't necessarily expect that. I did not expect that.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I didn't see any of it coming, well, other than the Brunson three at the end, which is predictable because he's got some clutch.
He is just unbelievable, dude. Thanks for the call there, Zeke. All right, so Zoo just handed me this here. So, I mean, this is just flushing money down the chute here. For the Knicks to sweep, here's the series odds. Knicks to sweep, plus 4,000. I mean, you throw down $100, Knicks sweep and winning four, you win 4,000. You throw down 300, you win 12,000. I mean, this is just ridiculous. So, that's not even an odd. That's not even remotely plausible.
Hey, throw $10 maybe. You know what? Get 400 back. I don't, you know, take the lower amount on that
one. I got you. It's all relative.
If it happens, you're going to kick yourself in the butt.
Well, I mean, do you really think? First of all, do you think they're going to win the series? Yes or no? You got to answer me honestly. I know you're rooting for them. It's not going to take away from me, Nick fan, but do you think they're going to win?
No.
Okay. Then why would you put down real money for a sweep?
Not on the Knicks end.
Well, that's where I'm going. So for the Knicks to get swept, now this I wouldn't bet on because I don't want to see this happen. It's for the Knicks to lose in four, it's plus 360. Knicks ain't getting swept. That's not going to happen. Now, all right, let's see if we can maybe finagle something here that's appealing. For the Knicks to win in five, that seems highly improbable. It's plus 3,500. But now you got to look at this in terms of value, all right? Not so much what we actually think is going to happen. Knicks to win in six goes from 3,500 at five down to 1,300. And then for the Knicks to win in seven drops down slightly below 1,100. So, and we all know, listen, every Knicks fan wants them to win. And if you're looking for a little juice, a little extra fun, the best value by far, Knicks in five. Put down 100 spot, Knicks win, you get 3,500 coming your way. Let's go. Stuff that account. Stuff that man account, Zoo.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. And you know what kind of is shocking to me, though, is the fact
that... Good job finding this, by the way. Really good.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I just went through the FanDuel quick. Yeah, great site, by the way. You know, great sponsor. But I just looked at those numbers, and when I saw the Game 7 number, it kind of shocked me a little bit because I feel like Game 6, being at home, should be valued at a little bit of a lower price than you would have Game 7. I was expecting that to be plus 2,000.
They don't win at home.
Well, that's the
crazy. You don't think that these sharps are factoring that in?
All they do is win on the road right now. And I mean, Boston is an interesting story. I like that team. And if I'm being completely honest, being an unbiased NBA fan or just a fan of sports in general, I hate saying this, but it kind of feels like we're on the verge of a Celtics dynasty right now.
Really?
Tatum's 27, Brown's 30. I mean, these guys are fairly young
still. A dynasty?
If they win another one this year, we're on our way.
Okay,
and the East is one of those things right now where we're the next best team, but we all kind of
The Cavaliers are.
They did their thing this year. Dude. I still they gotta take our souls away from us the way we did today.
All right. I could get behind that a little bit. I know what you mean, but I think I hear you. I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. I mean, Dynasty's a bit strong because you got the Thunder coming. So even if they get to the finals, like, would they beat the Thunder? Whatever remains to be seen. They could, but they'd have to do it to be a true Dynasty. And to be a Dynasty, you got to win at least two in a row and then maybe get to another finals or certainly three or four. I don't think I see that because I think the Cavaliers are a massive problem. I think the Knicks will retool this summer, which will make them better. I know that, you know, the Magic, now this seems a little nuts now, but Pinchero, like, they're coming, dude. And the Pistons, you get one running mate for Durant and Cunningham. They are a massive problem for a long time. I just think that it's evolving in a way. Like, the Bucks are done. They're going to strip that. Where's Giannis go? I mean, wherever he goes very well might determine if he goes to the Knicks, maybe the Knicks become a dynasty.
That's the dream right there, bro. And to your point, just because we are throwing out these teams and teams that we think are going to be on the come up, you kind of were hesitant about Orlando. Orlando is a team that, I got to be honest with you, they are going to be filthy.
No, I know. I like them.
Banchero is a true MVP candidate. Franz Wagner is a potential MVP candidate. I mean, they got so many other young guys that they can either choose to stick with or trade. That team, to me, if they're not, they were a disappointment this year, if I'm going to be completely honest. What they did, I get they got Boston, but they were a disappointment. If they are able to stay healthy next year and add a little bit, that team is a top four seed easy next year.
I don't disagree. Now, I'd have to look at their finances. I know it's not out of whack because the kids are still young, but like if you're a player, I mean, maybe they find Orlando boring, but you know, the tax benefits and the weather and that thing could shift fast. I don't disagree. Good stuff, Zoo. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show here on WFAN. We got you till 2. Then it's Evan Attiki and crew coming up. That'll be a happy crew, except maybe for Evan, Mr. Net. We'll get back to these calls next on The Fan. Think big, you know, conquer the Celtics. It is going to be tough. And especially if Karl Anthony Towns doesn't change the way he's looking right now. Think about the contrast in the show today. If they would have lost that game last night. The social experiment would have been amazing. I think most of you would have said, that's it. We're going to lose game 7 at the Garden. Over. It's a wrap. I think it would have been mostly about fire Tom Thibodeau. I mean, 10 points for Karl Anthony Towns. Ship him out. He ain't built for it, even though he's from here. Like, it would have been insane. And the only thing that I say, and I don't want to delve too deeply into it today, because I want to make sure that we enjoy this day. We don't get this every year. We don't get with all these teams. We just don't get this all the time. Guy just stuck a 25-footer basically at the buzzer to keep playing basketball for at least another 10 days against the hated Celtics. And, you know, I'm not raining on the parade. All right? But understand, if that doesn't go in, or if Bridges doesn't have that tip in, or even Karl Anthony Towns with the steal and the one free throw, like they made a couple of clutch plays late, if they lose that game, and just think about how they were getting smoked by that ridiculous 24-2 run, you can't forget that just because Brunson bailed them out. There's still a lot to clean up. There's still a lot to fix. I think some of it you could, and unfortunately, I think some, or strongly believe, if not know, some of it you can't. Jimmy's in Warren County. Jimmy on The Fan. What's up, Jim?
BT, what's going on, brother?
Hello, Jim. What's happening? What's going on?
I'm better today. I want to thank you for keeping it positive and giving us our day today.
No doubt, man.
I want
to
thank you for that.
Love Knicks fans. Hey, no doubt.
Yeah. Remember yesterday I was talking about protecting the house?
Yes, I do.
Well, after the game last night, it hit me.
Okay.
I'm like, protect the house. You know what? Maybe everybody else needs to protect their house because that was a hostile environment. Those were big games, and Jalen Brunson kicked in the door and ate all the food. Maybe we got some road warriors here. I'm feeling good, BT. I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling really good, but you know what? There's no but. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great today, actually, Jimmy. I'm with you.
Maybe going forward, we got a little thing. You never know. Maybe got a little road warrior thing. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. And again, without any, you know, the matchups, I'll do that stuff a little like Monday for sure. If the Knicks can't start winning at the Garden, Jim, then it's a wrap immediately. Like, you gotta start winning at Madison Square Garden with more frequency.
Definitely a different feeling for me, knowing that they're going up against a team that they're heavy underdogs. But, I mean, you just came out of this series and this game with such a great feeling. So, I mean, Saturday night would have been game 7. Monday is going to be intense. It's going to be everything we wanted it to be. Right at the beginning of that game, if they're competing, we're going to get into it. And if they somehow win that first game, then everything changes. If they can win game 1, then this entire fan base turns on a dime and says, we can do this. If they lose by 25, then, well, all right, okay.
Normally, I would say that the other team would be so confident that they're going to beat you that maybe you can go in there and you can sneak in there and get game 1. But it's New York, it's the Knicks, and this is the Celtic team that has dominated them.
Yep, that's true.
So in order to beat them, there ain't no sneaking in. There's no getting in there and stealing one. You got to go in there and you got to play your ass off from start to finish.
Yeah,
that's how good the team is that you're going to be playing against, and that's the kind of depth that they have that you don't. At least we haven't shown that.
Yeah, and it would have been nice if they could have wrapped this thing up in 5 and had 2 more extra days off. Instead, they don't. But still, they got all of today off, all of Saturday off, all of Sunday off. They got to go and travel to Boston. So they'll have some rest. Jalen Brunson will be able to get a breather because this guy is just exuding so much just physical energy to put this team on his back that he's going to need every off day. And get those ankles right, too, which looked pretty good on that crossover last night.
It really did. Looked like he didn't have a problem with that. But I would imagine that anytime his ankle gets a little bit of a tweak or something, he feels like an electric current through that foot of his.
Yeah.
And it's not the easiest thing to deal with. But I will say that he still plays fearlessly. It's not like he's trying to protect it.
No, he can't play tentatively. I mean, the way he plays his game, if he's going to dominate, he's going to have no limitations.
Yeah, I mean, he is a fearless player. There's no question that most non-Jalen Brunson fans or non-Knick fans, see him in a different light than we do, possibly. But the fact is, we haven't had a point guard like this in a long, long time. And the unquestioned leader of the team. It's interesting. I was talking to a number of, athletes over the last couple of days through my game time stuff. And,
yeah.
And we were talking about just who the quarterbacks are, what they're all about. And I had Leroy Butler, the safety from the Green Bay Packers, is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what was it like playing with Reggie White? He goes, man, Reggie was unbelievable. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. He goes, Reggie was unbelievable. He was a great guy. And he was the unquestioned leader of the Packers. But he knew that in order for us to become a great team and a Super Bowl winning team, the quarterback had to be the face of the franchise. And he was saying that when I know this is hard to believe because you may not think this, but when Brett took over in Green Bay, Leroy said he was kind of a quiet. He was a prankster for sure, but he wasn't really a leader. He wasn't a guy that would always speak up in meetings and things of that nature. And Reggie had to do all the rah-rah stuff, and he had to be the unquestioned leader on the team because he was such a powerful figure.
Yeah.
But Reggie White, according to Leroy Butler, Reggie White stood up in a meeting and goes, hey, guys, listen, man. I'll still be the captain on defense. I'll still be, the spiritual leader of the team or whatever. But the face of this franchise is our quarterback, Brett Favre. That's the leader right there. So Reggie kind of put that moniker on him, and then he had to be accepting of that and become the great player that he became. And I would say this is why Jalen Brunson is like the leader of the team. You could see how everybody expects him to handle the ball late in the game, create opportunities for his teammates, but sometimes it gets a little bit iso ballish, and there's a turnover here or a slip there or a non-call and a missed shot, and we all kind of get frustrated as fans. But for the team, that's what they expect him to do.
Yeah, I mean, in for all those times you get frustrated, you get that incredible layup, him driving to the basket to get the tip in from Bridges and the magical three-pointer that ended the series. I mean, so he has to still do it all, which is, I mean, Towns wasn't on the floor, but at that point, Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't getting the ball in crunch time anyway with the way that he was playing. But he's still doing it all on a team that we didn't want him to do it all. We wanted him to be there and running the offense and not have to score 40 points every night for them to win, but that's still what he has to do.
Well, he got a great game from Mikal Bridges last night. He got a really good game from OG last night. And Josh Hart just does what he does, and it's kind of consistent. And he made all his free throws, which is important for him. I would say that Karl-Anthony Towns and the bench were invisible.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. But, I don't think that this series against the Celtics is going to be nearly the way that the series played out against the Pistons.
But does that help the Knicks or hurt the Knicks?
Well, I mean, defensively, I think it hurts them because this group can shoot. This group hits big shots themselves. And when they get rolling downhill, I mean, they're a bitch to stop.
Mm.
That's the problem. And the Knicks do not defend three-point shooting well, but I gave you the three-point statistics. I mean, they're pretty much even for both teams. It's really when you
hit the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs. It's really when you hit these shots, that really counts. And when Bridges hits a big three-pointer the other night, that's huge. And just like Jalen hit his three-pointer last night, they didn't have great three-point shooting nights, but
yeah.
It's when you hit those three-pointers that matter.
I mean, Mikal Bridges, this might sound nuts, but his misses look uglier than other guys' misses.
I feel like he's double clutches.
He's banging it off the rim, and it looks so bad.
But what he's on...
He's great. He was great last night.
I mean, it is swishing.
Yeah,
swishing and dishing.
And we say goodbye to Clyde and Mike Breen doing a local broadcast. We'll see them next regular season.
Yeah.
And good game to end on, though.
It was a great game to end on and a great shot to end on. And now it just comes down to they have to get more from their bench. They just have to.
Well, it's up to Tibbs to want to play those guys.
I think he's got to play a couple of these guys.
And Precious being a big part of it, Campaign being another. I mean, but there's guys on that bench I don't need to see. I mean, Campaign, Deuce McBride, and Precious I'd like to see. I mean, I don't need to see a ton of Landry Shamet, to be quite frank. You know, but yes, I'd like to see a little bit of a deeper bench and some more energy off of that. But it's, you know, it's what Tibbs is not going to care. Like, whatever game plan he comes up with, he is not going to care what anybody thinks.
I would say Mitchell about Robinson, his rotations. Mitchell Robinson is the bench player that gives you the most.
Sure.
And that's what he should be.
Yeah.
Although Miles McBride he's going to need to have much better shooting.
But he's a guy that needs to get into a rhythm with these games, you know, and it's tough for him. When he comes off the bench, you want him to be instant offense, and he's not consistent with that. So more minutes for him, though, means more minutes of Jalen Brunson on the bench generally. They don't play those two guys together all that much.
You just need Jalen Brunson for the last 8 minutes of the game. Somehow you got to keep that energy up for the last 8 minutes of the game.
Yeah. Put him on ice for three and a half quarters.
Like, what happens when he's off the court, you see what happens. They fall apart. And, you know, that in game five, when they couldn't get he and Hart back into the game, you saw what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
it happens in a blink of an eye, too. But that's the money spot in the game where he has to be out there.
I mean, we're past that now. But what happened last night with Jalen Brunson makes it even more egregious to have him sitting there not be able to check in at the end of that game.
And while you're saving a timeout. And that goes back to the coach. And the coach is in a very weird spot. He's boxed into a corner and he's trying to do the right thing. And sometimes it's like the manager who pulls a pitcher and then the reliever comes in and gives up a 3-run homer. And you're like, why did you pull the pitcher? I only threw 90 pitches.
Yeah. Right.
But if the reliever comes in and gets the strikeout and the inning's over, the manager's a genius.
It's all about the results.
That's
the process and the results.
The process and the results.
Well, yeah.
It's exactly what ended up happening.
Sit cat.
Cat's on the floor. Cat's sitting down.
Well,
and Mitch is playing.
It made it easier. Not easier because...
Well, it did make it easier because it gave you no choice.
Gave you no choice, but he was also having a bad day.
Right, but that's... Look, in the fourth quarter of this game, what kind of impact did Karl-Anthony Towns have?
Mm-hmm.
Other than him throwing away a pass when OG Anunoby's cutting to the basket and they miscommunicated with about 6 minutes to go.
Yeah.
The answer is he had no positive impact for the most part in the latter part of this game. And yet, he fouls out. Bridges has that tip in to tie the game up, and now the ball is in the hands of Cade Cunningham. And look, we're not doing a show in Detroit, but I'll tell you this, kid was not ready for the moment. Let's just call it like it is.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a while now.
And it continued in the latter part of this game. Like, I get how good Cade can be. Lugie and I made that bet on who's going to be the better player at some point. Well, the key word is at some point, because it ain't him now. Not after this series, not after this performance. But on that miss, right before the timeout and the Brunson three, I think that it's very different if Cat's on the floor. And so Thibodeau benefited greatly from Cat fouling out and the decision being simple to have a rim protector like Mitchell Robinson on the floor who clearly made an impact on that Cunningham drive.
Hey, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, they say.
100%.
Right? You don't have to coach your way if Cat fouls out for you.
Sometimes those foul calls that you're cursing at actually benefit you in a huge way. Alex in New Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All's good. What's up?
Yo.
So, first thing I want to say is I want to apologize for Bad Alex calling yesterday and saying I wasn't going to get emotional. I just did all the emotion levels that I was going to have during that game. Excited, frustrated, pain, love, who knows? I mean, it was just a swing of everything.
No doubt.
And I'm not going to say the C word, but I am going to say I can't wait to hear CP. The franchise, come on your radio today and let them know Pop the Legend gave him a shout out.
Indeed. Yeah, CP will join us coming up at around 5 or so. And he does a great job after each Knick game. They got Knick Fan TV. He was fired up. He was great. I listened to a little bit of CP last night. He was fired up, but also expressed his concerns, which was the Knicks came very close to completely collapsing last night.
They should have been.
I mean, they gave up a 20-2 run in the fourth quarter.
Dude, at the first quarter, it felt like the Pistons were just, they didn't show up. They didn't come out of the locker room. And then all of a sudden, come back again. And the Knicks get a bigger lead. What is it, 11-point lead they got to again. And then here they go on this 20-something-2 run. The Knicks are so damn frustrating. They're so good at moments, and they're so damn frustrating at the same time.
And that's why you said this at the top, and it's a good point. Last night's game, in a lot of ways, showed you all the good and the bad of the New York Knicks this season. All the good that you love, the clutchness, especially late from Jalen Brunson, but then all the bad. I mean, giving up a 20-3 run in the fourth quarter, like, this could have been an epic Knicks loss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talk about how this may go down as one of those great Knick victories, and I think a lot of it depends on your age,
right?
How much great Knick basketball you've actually seen. If you're in your early 20s, yeah, it's going to be in the top five list. If you're 55 years old, you got a few more. If you're 75 years old, you have a lot more. But this game, and that's why last night was so ridiculous, like, I'm still shaking all these hours later, featured so many roller coaster rides that your head spins thinking about all the possibilities. Paul's in Newark, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, guys. Brunson is the Mariano Rivera of the NBA.
Mm.
I called yesterday saying, don't worry, guys. He's a closer. He's going to win this game tonight. But the closer's in the stands. He can't win the game for you.
Right.
The difference between game five and game six, he's sitting in the stands watching the game at the close of the game. Game six, he's in there doing his thing. And the other thing I got to say, the Detroit Pistons bench outscored the Knicks 31-6.
Yes.
Wow. Something's got to change there. That's horrible.
Yeah, that is it. When you start to look ahead, which you don't want to do yet, you want to enjoy the moment. That is one thing that's absolutely going to have to change moving forward. They need more out of their bench. Deuce McBride has not been great.
No.
It's called like it is. Their biggest producer off the bench, obviously for a very different reason, is Mitch.
Right.
In fact, as I just said, there are moments in which Mitch should be on the floor over Karl-Anthony Towns because of the rim protection that he provides.
What did he play last? 13? Let's see.
He usually
13 minutes.
He usually ends up in that 17, 18 minute area, right. But you're right. He got to 13 last night. Big minutes from everybody else. And no one's complaining about that, by the way.
No, not in a closeout game.
Now, Mikal Bridges playing 45 minutes. That's cool. Nothing wrong with that. This is what you're waiting for.
Right.
This is the moment. Let's go to Bruce in Wyckoff. How are you, Bruce?
Living the dream, guys. Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
So, physical bout, right? Last year, same with Philly, real physical. Why don't we play Precious? We got this big, giant guy. We got Mitch, can't hit foul shots. As soon as they start doing the foul of Mitch, why aren't we using Precious? I heard rumors he got caught gambling, but I don't see what's going on.
Is that a real thing? Is that like a real rumor, or did you just make that up? Seriously.
I heard that somewhere a
couple
weeks ago.
Hold on a second. Sean, can you check the Google machine and see if there are any wild, outlandish rumors about Precious Achiuwa? Look, I think a part of this is trust. A part of this is, who does Tom Thibodeau trust off that bench? And the answer is two guys.
Yeah.
He trusts his Deuce, even though he has not played well. He still gets out there for 17, 18 minutes and is still capable of making big plays. And he obviously trusts Mitchell Robinson. Campaign he barely trusts. We saw Campaign make a big impact in game one and not much since.
Time to play Campaign.
That's a good one.
I was like, what?
I do think that in this next round against an opponent not to be named, you may have to open up the cookbook a little bit.
Yeah, I was just looking at the minutes he played throughout the entire season. It really was only in February where he had a stretch of playing 30-plus minutes. But after that, I don't know if it's a trust thing. Maybe it's a health thing. I don't know what it is. He played 39 minutes, though, at the beginning of April. So it's a good question because I like Precious. I think he surprised people in the middle of the season after missing the first month or so. But Tom Thibodeau is a creature of habit. He trusts who he trusts, and that's who's going to play in postseason games.
Sean Moraz checked Google. There are zero rumors about Precious Achiuwa gambling.
At least on Twitter. And if it's not on Twitter, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. It doesn't even fit. By the way, one thing that is very, very important around here, coming up in the next 5-10 minutes or so, we will check in on our pre-series predictions we made for this Knicks series against the Pistons. Who is right? Who is wrong? Who is a hater? Who is way too positive? We'll get to it coming up in the next 10 minutes. Eddie's in Hicksville. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to also discuss the 2 points you guys already made. Once the Brunson play to win it, and also Mikal's dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched the Brunson play over and over and over again, like everybody else. And it's crazy because he goes so hard left, his strong side, stops on a dime, and you guys compared it to the Jordan play, what Jordan obviously pushes off.
Right.
Brunson actually goes behind his back between his legs. If you watch that play again,
now I gotta go watch it again.
It's crazy. And then Tiki, to your point, like getting the draft picks for Miguel from Evans.
Yeah.
Like that dunk was not only impressive, it was magical. He laid that jam down left-handed, bro.
Left-handed, and he didn't have it in his palm.
It was an incredible play.
It was like on his wrist.
It was an incredible play. I'm watching this Jaylen play again. It is amazing. He's backing into Thompson. Remember, Brunson's given off a couple of inches on him because he's got that size advantage. He's so long. Bridges comes over to set a screen, and yeah, Brunson just makes a crazy move and gets a wide, wide open look.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! And then Brunson so calmly does that annoying three-finger salute.
And he's just looking at his hand.
And he's looking at the crowd, the same crowd that was chanting flopper, which we have to admit was a very good chant.
It was a good chant, but it didn't affect Jalen Brunson.
Well, I could argue that that chant, in fact, I've got some proof. That chant, here's the clip, here's an audio clip. This is the TNT broadcast of Ian Eagle describing the chant. And I'll tell you when it was and how he actually did respond to the chant. But here's how it sounded on TNT last night.
Against the Pistons. If it stands. And right now, the Pistons fans are chanting, flopper, flopper.
I just love hearing Ian describe it. So that was during the play where Brunson was fouled and the Detroit challenged it.
Yeah.
And he didn't foul. He flopped a little bit. It ruled into a jump ball, which the Knicks actually won. After that, Jalen Brunson, believe it or not, missed his next three shots. So it was not an immediate.
Three shots. It's all good.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just being accurate.
I know
about
what
this.
You're saying, but it's just three shots.
I get it. No, and that's the beauty of Jalen Brunson. He missed those shots. He still responded.
Right.
He still hit the big ones when it counted, but it wasn't like they did that chant with 5 minutes to go. It was deafening in Detroit, and Jalen decided, okay, now I'm turning it on.
Right.
But I give the Piston fan credit because I think sometimes in our town, we've gotten lazy with our chants, and I've said this before. Like chanting F. Trae Young or F. Altuve or F. Juan Soto, I mean, basically just putting an F in front of any person you don't want, I just don't think it has any creativity. That's why I've always said, hey, if you're going to chant to Trae Young, talk about his hairline. You know, do something
right.
creative.
Make it creative. This was creative.
Now, it's not original, in fairness, because there have been chants of flopper before in the NBA. I think Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's had it happen before. James Harden's had it happen before. So it's not like it's been created by Detroit, but I like it better. So here's the mission, and it's a homework assignment. I don't think we should do this right now, but it's just put it in your mind. Have your weekend. Have a good time. When that team comes to town, the next opponent, the C-word team, if you will. Mm-hmm. When they come to town 1 week from tomorrow, what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. We're not just going to chant the F-word in front of player A. We call him Jason Tatum. Is that kind of saying the C-word in a way? I apologize. Player A, guy who's really good, whose last name has five letters. There needs to be something better than that. And that's on the Knicks fan. You got 8 days. Figure it out.
It's hard to do it with Tatum because his name doesn't fit the chant.
What do you mean?
It doesn't fit. How are you? What are you saying?
Well, it doesn't have to be. No, we don't want that. We want something else. Not F the player.
Right.
Something creative. It doesn't even have to involve his name. They weren't chanting anything at Brunson by name. They were calling him a flopper. That's it. What do you have? You say you got something already?
Yeah. At Kristaps, we never needed you. He won a title last year.
I know. That's a hard
so
one.
We have to find something that gets under the skin that's very sensitive to one of the players.
Oh, I got it.
Even how great they are.
But it's below the belt, and it's not classy.
So feed it to Sean. Feed it to me.
No, I'm thinking about it out loud. Wasn't Porzingis accused of like some terrible things while he was here? You don't want to touch that, right? That's awful. I don't want to get the victim involved.
Hairline, midsection, stuff like that is definitely in play.
Maybe something about Joe Mazzulla being really weird. Because he is really weird.
He is very weird.
So then,
now, if you happened to be at the Barclays Center earlier this year, then you would have got a shirt that said exactly that.
So, I'll make the fight then with you and any other Knicks fan who was bashing Jalen for being too selfish a week ago. Where's that energy today? He was selfish in the fourth quarter. The difference was he bailed your asses out. I have been loyal. I have been a loyal subject to Jalen Brunson. None of you guys have, because all you guys turned on him and said, well, look at his usage
percentage. I never turned on him. Exactly.
I think we can criticize him without turning on him.
And what did you criticize him for again? I forgot. Why don't you explain it to me again?
Well, it was game two.
Because he was too selfish, right?
No.
Took too many shots?
He would just take the contested shot as opposed to the right... making the right decision, he'd take the contested shot instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he dominated the basketball in the fourth quarter last night. You guys know that,
don't,
right?
Don't make me feed this to Sean and write this down on a piece of paper. Don't make me do this. The couple possessions before that game winner, he took some bad shots. He had some bad possessions. If we're being completely and utterly fair today, as an IBO.
No, but Tommy, that's my point. Like, that doesn't prove me wrong. It's just that they won and it worked at the end.
Absolutely.
And now he's lauded as a legend.
But nobody turned on him.
No, you
you're,
guys
you're painting this narrative.
Tommy, you guys.
Who's you guys?
Knicks fans who
name
criticize
somebody.
You?
I didn't.
CP, who will join us later. I'll call him out on it. You guys criticized his style of play when his style of play is what you're lauding
today.
We
pointed out that he was part of the blame, Teague, for a couple of the losses and the chemistry. That's it.
Yes.
Instead of just dumping on Cat, easy target. Instead of dumping on Bridges, easy target. Or Tibbs, easy target.
But guys, the same thing happened last night. The difference was he made those last few shots and they won.
Yeah, okay. But if you have success, then it doesn't matter the means.
So you don't like the style when they lose, but you love the style when they win. Okay. That's right.
If it works,
okay,
by all means.
Because his usage percentage was higher last night than it was in the game you were criticizing.
Isaac, if you're shooting from the hip and knocking them down, shoot from the hip.
I got you.
All right? If you're going to take... No. Okay, great. Great job. Hey, Pat Mahomes. Oh, don't throw that thing behind your back. Oh, wait, you completed it? Good job, Pat.
Yeah, except
like that's what we're talking about.
And what I said was, I still trust Jalen Brunson more than anyone on this team. So while you guys were critical of his style of play a few games ago, I backed him up because I said he's the guy to trust.
That's because they lost.
Exactly. Well, that's my point. It's not like his style changed.
The only thing we care about is winning.
Yes.
Winning.
Yes.
If you do it ugly, fine.
Okay. At least you're just admitting that.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
We're not hiding from that.
All right, let's listen to these calls because this was some scintillating stuff. We were very lucky last night. You had the national version, which featured Ian Eagle. And I'm biased towards Ian, but he is one of the great announcers we've ever been blessed to have. And then, of course, you have Mike Breen.
Right.
And I think these calls are so freaking awesome that we're going to play both of them, and I want all you guys to tell me who did it better. And it's not doesn't mean it's a knock on the other broadcast. We get it. Clyde and Breen are great. Ian's great. Everybody's great. All right? We're kissing everyone's ass. Which one was better? Let's start with Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier last night. Tie game. Ball in the hands of the King of New York
City. Down to 12 seconds. Brunson holding. Knicks trying to wait till the end. Brunson puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the three with 4.3 remaining. And the Pistons call timeout.
Well, that's an eternity is still remaining. So the Pistons know they can regroup. They have ample time to get off a shot. But the clutch player of the year showing you why with that play.
Captain Crunch Time does it again.
Watch Thompson stumbles, and Brunson humbles him, yeah, with the three ball.
40 points for Jalen Brunson.
This is such an amazing call, and it features so many incredible things.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with the double bang. A double bang.
The double bang, quickly.
A quick double bang followed by Clyde.
Going right to
bang!
Giannis.
Bang!
Going right to your point about there's too much time.
I think maybe that's why I thought about it.
Clyde put it in your head.
Yes.
Clyde, I love this man. Did not waste any time going right into.
But it was like simultaneous. I was thinking the same thing. I looked right at the clock. I'm like, damn it. That's a lot of time.
The reason why I would not mind that, again, IBO comment, is because I'm up by three. And so my worst case scenario is somehow they get a shot off because I'm probably going to foul. And the worst case scenario is it's a tie game.
Right.
If you had a two with 4 seconds to go, I feel very different.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be honest with you. That extra point makes a world of difference. So I didn't have that same panic. Then you've got Breen whipping out the Captain Crunch Time, followed by what a line by Clyde. Can you play that one more time? The way he described Thompson's little stumble?
Stumbles. And Brunson humbles him.
Oh, what a rhyme off the cuff. Stumbles and Brunson humbles. Bro. That's a t-shirt.
That's great.
Is that? Would you not buy a t-shirt of Thompson on the ground, perfect, Brunson in his shooting motion, and it says stumbles and Brunson humbles?
Mm-hmm. I would buy five of them and then charge our company.
Has anyone produced that shirt yet? Has Barstool done it yet? Has anyone done
it
yet?
Yeah, maybe CP. I don't know.
CP should do it, yes. All right, so that's a great call. We all agree?
Yeah.
You ready to hear the competition?
Let's hear it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I an Eagle.
Brunson takes a peek at the clock. Thompson digging in defensively. 8 seconds. Brunson stops on a dime. Launches. Oh, yeah! Jalen Brunson buries it. Knicks lead by three. The Brunson burner ignited.
I gotta tell you guys, I'm sorry. I think Ian has it. The Brunson burner. Oh, yeah.
Who's his analyst?
Grant Hill was with him. I think it was Grant Hill, right?
Yeah, because he was a Piston. Yes.
Is that why they did it?
No. Well, it's always Reggie when they play the Pacers. Yeah, it's Grant when they play the Pistons.
Yeah.
He was surprisingly silent.
He let the, well, are you getting on Clyde? Are you saying Clyde jumped all over Breen?
No, I like that.
Oh, okay.
I like the instant analysis by the guy who's there to analyze the game.
Yeah, I think Grant was leaning back and letting Ian be the star. Mm. I think he was saying, this is Ian's show. Say your crazy stuff. You the man. I loved Ian's call.
Yeah, it was great. So, Brunson burner.
So if you had to pick a winner in our little, which was, who called it better? Who are you giving the edge to?
Neither.
What do you mean neither?
Not picking winners. They were both equally grand.
Come on, Teague.
My God.
You're calling a tie?
I happen to like both of these men.
It's not about, I love both of these men too. Honestly,
and I liked both of their calls.
Honestly, Ian Eagle and Mike Breen, and I think they know this, not that they care what I think. Maybe Ian does. Breen doesn't care. I think these are two of the most brilliant broadcasters we have ever heard. Like, they are, if I'm ranking all-time broadcasters, they may be one, too. Like, they are utterly brilliant. This is, well, you were gone a few weeks ago. The Mets won a big game, and I did this to Sean with Howie Rose versus Gary Cohen.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing. Like, they're both brilliant broadcasters. Who called it better?
Right.
So it's not picking between the two. It's just the moment.
I would like to say something here. I think it's very notable. Tiki refuses to choose between Mike Breen and Ian Eagle. Loves both of them. But when given the opportunity to ask who he would choose to ride with to Detroit, he didn't hesitate to say me over Thomas.
Oh, yeah!
He didn't say I'm not choosing either.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah!
That's a great point.
But this one, he's sitting out.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, who do you prefer, Ian Eagle? Actually, I'm saving you. Tommy, Ian Eagle, or Mike Breen?
My answer is complicated. So if you just compared Bird's call to Breen's, Ian had the better call.
Wow.
However, and Tiki brought it up, when you combine Clyde's shtick along with the analysis, Breen and Clyde had the better call in totality. So I guess 2-on-1, I would give it to Breen and Clyde. But Bird's call was electric.
So if I edited it the way most people would edit this, like during our updates, you're not going to hear the whole thing. You're just going to hear a part of it. You would have actually given the edge to Ian because it wouldn't have included the Clyde stuff.
I would.
That's fair. That's fair analysis.
Right. It's funny because I think if you had played them in reverse order, so if you'd done Ian first, I wouldn't have noticed or been bothered by the lack of the analyst.
Oh, yeah!
Damn it, I screwed this up then. because it's, I feel like Breen and Clyde sound full.
Yeah.
It sounds like
they're a tag team.
It sounds like what it should have been.
Yeah, I think in that case, like,
right, it's just, like, I get the importance of dead air and broadcast, you know, broadcasting sporting events, but you miss something. When it's dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get what you're saying.
So
I think in the case of Breen and Clyde, they've worked together for 100%. A million years. They've done thousands of games together.
That's why I asked who the analyst was for Ian.
And Ian's worked with Grant, but not nearly as much as Breen has worked with Clyde. I mean, that's a twosome right there. When you think of great twosomes in New York sports, Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier are there. How about you, Sean?
I mean, all sports.
Yeah, you're right.
New York sports.
No, you're right.
I think it's a very good way to look at it. Obviously, both were awesome. What is the thing that would put Ian over the edge, right? The Brunson burner, right? We all love that. Why do we love it? Oh, I'd never heard that before. That's awesome. I'm not punishing Breen because it's the 500th time I've heard a double bang. If that was the first time you had ever heard a double bang, would this be a contest or would you say, it's Breen, that was unbelievable? So I'm going Breen. I think anytime you break back out the double bang, he's not getting punished because you've heard it a bunch.
The double bang, in fairness, is still unique. Like, I would say the double bang is like hitting for the cycle. It's happened. We've all seen it a bunch of times.
Three over the last year.
Okay.
Dante last year, one in the regular season, and now. His problem is he's a...
That's still rare, though, Tommy.
He's a victim of the triple bang. Well, and he can't bust that. But that's to Sean's point. He can't... Now that you've done the double bang, the next step is the triple bang, but you can't bust out that triple bang now, until Mike the game Breen, winner in the finals. Right.
Mike Breen did confirm earlier this year when asked about this from Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart on their podcast, would you ever whip out a triple bang? He said he would do it in a game-winning shot situation for the Knicks in the NBA Finals, which means, obviously, unfortunately,
this moment in the finals. That's what he said.
Yeah. If this moment happened in an NBA Finals game, he said he would do it. So that's not something we may see.
Okay, you didn't have to add that.
Well, I'm
you didn't
saying, have to add I don't know if
we're
going
to see
it.
You didn't have to add that part. See? If you're going to be an IBO, don't add that.
We were just asking for an example of Evan being a hater.
Yes.
Yeah. There it was.